On June 8, 1914, a new law was passed in San Antonio, Texas. It was backed up by the city council. And any person found in violation of this law could be fined up to $200. It's around $6,000 today. It's a pretty steep fine. And the law was this. It criminalized the killing of a very specific population. It made it illegal for any person to willfully, wantonly, or maliciously kill any bat within the city limits. No touching those flying creatures of the night. 3 years later, the governor signed a similar law. Government officials were in a little bit of a bat craze, thanks to a local doctor named Charles Campbell. Dr. Campbell was what you would call a bat evangelist. He called the winged mammals one of man's best friends.
There's this terrific photograph of Dr. Campbell standing on a bat roost. There's these four concrete pillars that are each 10 feet tall. Then there's this giant wooden steeple that's 30 feet tall.
He wanted people to raise backyard bats in towers just like these because he was trying to cure one of the world's greatest health problems by harnessing the power of bats.
And I'm looking at this photograph of Dr. Campbell and his municipal bat roost, and I'm going, what in the heck is that? What is the municipal bat roost? What is that guy doing standing on it? Why does he look so happy?
I'm Dylan Thuris, and this is Atlas Obscura, a celebration of the world's strange, incredible, and wondrous places. Today, the story of Dr. Charles Campbell, his conversion from renowned doctor to bat evangelist, and his world-saving idea that turned out to be a little batty. More after this. Autograph Collection Hotels offers over 300 independent hotels around the world, each exactly like nothing else. Hand-selected for their inherent craft, each hotel tells its own unique story through distinctive design and immersive experiences, from medieval falconry to volcanic wine tasting. Autograph Collection is part of the Marriott Bonvoy portfolio of over 30 hotel brands around the world. Find the unforgettable at autographcollection.com.
And now, a next level moment from AT&T Business. Say you've sent out a gigantic shipment of pillows, and they need to be there in time for International Sleep Day. You've got AT&T 5G, so you're fully confident. But the vendor isn't responding, and International Sleep Day is tomorrow. Luckily, AT&T 5G lets you deal with any issues with ease, so the pillows will get delivered and everyone can sleep soundly, especially you. AT&T 5G requires a compatible plan and device. 5G is not available everywhere. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Charles A.R. Campbell was born in San Antonio in 1865. He got his medical degree from Tulane University and returned home to practice medicine. And he first came to fame as a doctor during a typhus outbreak in the city, when he came up with a pretty simple but useful idea.
He recommended that the public water systems be lined with concrete rather than open mud and that type of thing. And he was able to convince people to do that, and that helped reduce the outbreak of typhus. He was a kind of a celebrated public figure.
This is John Gehagan. He's an author who writes about what he calls white elephant technology, innovative ideas that really completely fail in the real world. And he has written about Dr. Campbell.
He was seen by people of the day as this almost Santa Claus-like figure of, you know, good cheer and meaning well and helping the sick.
Based on his typhus success, Dr. Campbell developed a reputation as kind of out-of-the-box thinker. He was completely dedicated to public health, and so when another crisis hit the city, this time the disease was malaria, Dr. Campbell got to work. His big idea was, of course, bat roosts. He wanted to build giant bat houses all over the city.
It was very simple reductivist thinking, which is, geez, if I can put bats where these mosquito problems are, they will eat the mosquitoes and that will put an end to malaria.
His grand plan was simple, to corral hundreds of thousands of bats in malaria-ridden locations so that they could eat the mosquitoes. He wrote, "Can bats like bees be colonized and made to multiply?" where we want them. During the early 20th century, malaria was ravaging the world, and the U.S. was not immune. Every president from George Washington to Abraham Lincoln got malaria. Health officials estimated that malaria cost the country around $200 million a year in treatments and lost wages. Malaria was a huge problem with very few cost-effective solutions. But there were some key developments. In the late 1800s, scientists discovered the parasite that caused malaria. And another group found that mosquitoes spread the disease. Those researchers were awarded Nobel Prizes for their breakthroughs. So Dr. Campbell's strange idea was based on some sound science. He knew that San Antonio had one of the largest populations of bats in the world. So why not use them? Why not use the arch enemy of the malaria mosquito, as Dr. Campbell called them?
His biggest problem, I think, was trying to figure out how can I get bats out of their cave to the places where we really need to have them.
Trying to contain this tornado of flying, squeaking bats and get them to all set up shop in a tiny little bat house, it was no easy job. And Dr. Campbell was a medical doctor. He was far from a bat expert. But that would soon change.
He actually took a leave of absence from his job and went out into the West Texas wild for several months and camped out to study bat behavior. And so he wanted to get the hands-on experience of looking at bats in their natural habitat and understanding what is it that attracted them to a specific place.
Dr. Campbell became a true believer, a believer that the bat roost could be a key strategy in the battle against malaria. He began observing everything he could about bats. He compiled his findings into a bat manifesto.
It was called Bats, Mosquitoes, and Dollars. It makes for actually very entertaining reading and is not the scientific tone that you might expect. There's a lot of speculative behavior in it.
For instance, in a section that he titled The Harmlessness of Bats, he wrote, "About the only harm the writer has ever known a bat to do is that it will get into smokehouses and eat the fat from hams and bacon. If it can find a piece of bacon with a streak of fat and streak of lean, it will eat the fat as far as its mouth will permit and avoid the lean meat." From this manifesto, from these writings, you can see that Dr. Campbell is becoming a real devotee of the bat. His manifesto reads like an ode to the animal. He wrote, "But when we study its anatomy, we see that old Dame Nature rearing her creatures with her illimitable and inimitable faultlessness has made no mistakes when she created this animal for the purpose she intended it." From his observations, he came up with a design plan for his bat roost. He started by putting birdhouse-like boxes up in trees, but he soon realized he needed to scale way, way up.
Bats like to reside in places like church steeples and abandoned houses. And so he began to build these bat roosts that were bigger and bigger that looked like architecturally like a church steeple. They had louvers, clappered side, tapered at the top.
They are these three-story imposing structures on stilts, totally enclosed. They look like a lifeguard's tower if the lifeguard were Dracula and couldn't be exposed to the sun. But despite looking impressive, Dr. Campbell's ruse remained empty. So, like any good scientist, he set up experiments to see how he could start to lure these flying creatures inside.
He would hang ham in there, thinking that the food might attract the bats. That didn't work. He then started to add shelving so that the bats would find a comfortable place to roost within the steeple. And that didn't really work. And then he would collect bat guano from the caves, and he would line cheesecloth with the bat guano and put it inside the steeple. And then he would grind up the sex organs of female bats and put that in with the guano, thinking, okay, that's going to attract the male bats.
Dr. Campbell's experiments were strange, even gruesome. But he was completely invested in this idea. In fact, he decided to move his lab to Mitchell Lake. It was a lake south of the city filled with mud, water, and millions of pounds of the city's sewage. Huge swarms of mosquitoes lived there. 89% of the tenant farmers living in the area had malaria. So he completed his experimental bat roost on the lake's edge on April 2nd, 1911. And he waited. A small colony of bats flew in. And then right back out in 5 minutes. And the roost remained empty. There were 2 abandoned houses nearby that were filled with hundreds of thousands of bats. And so his plan became to scare them out of the houses and into his Hotel de Bat.
And the way he did that is he hired this kid to go into each one of those 2 houses with a Victrola and wind up the Victrola, which had a record on it of a Mexican marching band. Okay. And that the sound would drive, he thought, the bats out of that comfortable roost where they were into his steeple. And he was right. That's exactly what happened.
This time, 250,000 bats swarmed out of the houses and into the roost and stayed for 2 hours, according to Dr. Campbell. But it was proof enough for him that the roost worked. Despite Dr. Campbell's results being pretty shaky, he began to spread the word. He called for municipal bat roosts to be built all throughout the city. He got the mayor on board. He had already earned the trust of city officials, and they were looking for solutions.
There was not that much knowledge to counter his approach in that day. So people were desperate to solve malaria in any way that they could. The truth of the matter was Dr. Campbell was the one-eyed man in the land of the blind when it came to the public health and malaria.
However, the residents of the city were a bit of a tougher sell. They really had to be convinced because most people did not want giant bat-filled guano-dropping houses in their backyard. And they were also worried about rabies.
Campbell went on this kind of educational campaign where he actually did public speaking to educate the public about bats are our friends. In fact, he encouraged people to adopt bats as their pets. He promoted them as a pet, like a cat or a dog. I think he was a very effective promoter and evangelist.
6 years after his first failed experiments, when the bats flew in and out of his house in minutes, San Antonio got its first municipal bat roost, and the media ate it up.
And they really put a lot of wind in his sails in terms of spreading the word. London Illustrated News did a story on one of the municipal bat roosts and had a very impressive drawing, illustration of what one of them looked like. And so all of a sudden, Europe was made aware of this concept of the bat roost.
A couple of roosts also popped up in Italy. Others sprang up in backyards in Texas and Florida. And San Antonio built one near a park downtown and another near what was known as the Southwestern Insane Asylum. The Texas legislature nominated Dr. Campbell for a Nobel Prize. In all, 16 of these experimental bat roosts were built in the U.S. But not everyone was convinced. And there were some real skeptics in the science community.
There were some experts who did not believe in the efficacy of the bat roosts and pushed back a little bit on Dr. Campbell.
When Houston was debating about building its own bat roost, a group of scientists came out against the idea. The head of the Biological Survey said the idea was based on a misconception because not all bats eat mosquitoes. According to one entomologist who examined the bats in the San Antonio roost, he did not find a single mosquito in its stomach.
I think there's defining characteristics that all white elephant technology inventors share. One of them is an optimism that no matter what the results are, they're convinced that they can get this invention to work and that it's going to be a success. And they also have tremendous determination and grit and courage, and they're willing to go all in on their invention, which means neglecting their family, going bankrupt, experiencing personal bankruptcy. What's interesting is the same ingredients for success, like courage and determination, are actually what can lead to failure as well.
Even with his determination, it's very hard to say if Dr. Campbell was able to prevent any cases of malaria. It all came to an abrupt end on February 22, 1931, when Dr. Campbell fell while exiting a theater. He got a case of sepsis, and it led to his death. And along with his death, it also ended the fervor for bathhouses. Eventually, federal agencies would use big-budget solutions to get a handle on malaria, clearing land with mosquito-infested waters. And in 1946, the Communicable Disease Center was founded, today the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC. The agency's original goal was to combat malaria. It did not ever build a single bat house. But there are still some around. A handful of bat houses still exist out in Texas, scattered around in private backyards. Our podcast is a co-production of Atlas Obscura and Stitcher Studios. This episode was produced by Alexa Lim. The people who make our show include Doug Baldinger, Chris Naka, Camille Stanley, Johanna Mayer, Manola Morales, Baudelaire, Gabby Gladney, Amanda McGowan, Alexa Lim, Casey Holdford, and Luce Fleming. Our theme music is by Sam Tindall. If you like our show, please give us a review and a rating whenever you get a chance and wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, obviously, you know, follow, subscribe, never miss an episode. I'm Dylan Thuris, wishing you all the wonder in the world. I'll see you next time.
At T. Rowe Price, our curiosity lights the way to help you plan ahead for what matters to you most. Work directly with us, and together we can help uncover the right investments for you at every stage of your life, whatever your goals. That's the power of curiosity. Better questions, better outcomes. T. Rowe Price. Invest with confidence. Visit TRowePrice.com/investdirect to learn more.
Stop your search for the one and find your perfect mattress match at Mancini's Sleep World. Save up to $1,200 during our Black Friday sale with Tempur-Pedic mattresses starting at $27 a month. Plus, take advantage of doorbuster savings on Serta mattresses now at $399 and complete beds at $199 plus recliners at $299. Take advantage of 60-month special financing and free next-day delivery, removal, and setup of your new mattress. Your perfect match is waiting for you online or in stores at Mancini's Sleep World.